Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yes, it is the Derek Shelton Show, brought to you by your local Parmore stores. Remember, if there's not a Parmore store near you, there will be soon. Shelty, we have to start with the obvious today. A very hearty, happy birthday to you. You're starting to catch up to Ron Cook, who's retired in Florida.
Yeah, I guess I am. And if we keep playing games like that, I'm going to start looking like Cookie, too. I mean, geez.
Nobody would want that fate. But no, actually, Ron is actually a very, I think, a decent-looking man for his age.
Yeah, didn't he get voted like most handsome man or something last year? I mean, wasn't there some sort of award he won at some point?
No.
I think you're right. I think there was something he won, like some sort of award.
He may
like
have.
Yes.
These games are incredible, Shelty.
No, hold on. Hold on before you say that. I loved it. In 5 years of the show, you've never given me a one-word answer, and on that one, you were like, no, no.
Yeah. Right. So how does that feel coming back at you, the evasive one-word answer?
Yeah, I know. You're getting used to it. I know. I like it. You're learning. You're learning.
Yes. So these games have been phenomenal the past 2 days. Today, everybody wondering, and I think really have people's interest perked up on the trade deadline even more than usual. You're on the record with us saying that you would like a bat. Are you confident you'll have one by 6 p.m.?
Yeah, I'm on the record saying that I want to add to our offense. I think everybody within our organization does. And, you know, hopefully it's a situation where that happens. I don't think there's any guarantees at the deadline because of how challenging the deadline itself is. So, you know, we have another, whatever it is, 6 or 7 hours to see how it pans out, and then we kind of go from there.
Will you be disappointed if it doesn't happen?
No, I don't think disappointed, because, you know, it's a situation where sometimes things just don't line up, and it's not a situation where we're not trying to add or we haven't had conversations about adding. Sometimes you just can't, you know, line up with people, or people go other places, or they have other deals. So I know we're continuing to work on it. I know we will continue to work on it up until the deadline, and you know, hopefully it's a situation where it's something that we get something done.
Do you think that then there's lots of discussion and theories about the fact that you guys have won a few games now, and so that makes the general manager more likely to try and make deals, or if you had lost, like if you'd lost the last two nights, it'd be less likely. Do you think that the way that the team plays leading up to the deadline plays into those kinds of things, or do you feel like Ben Cherington was trying to make a deal regardless of really kind of what was happening the last week or so?
Yeah, well, I can only speak to our situation, and I don't think the last 2 days has affected it in any way. I think Ben has been trying to do things over, you know, the last, not only the last couple days, but over the last week or 10 days or maybe even longer than that. So I don't think the last 2 days have had any effect on that. I do think, you know, we continue to play good baseball, which is important, but it hasn't changed, you know, our willingness or our want to be able to add to our club.
Pirates manager Derek Shelton on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's interesting, Shelty, just what the organizational philosophy is at the top and what you guys talk about when you talk with Ben and I assume with Bob Nutting. Joel Sherman on MLB Network the other day says of the Pirates, no team is going to want to play a best of three against Skeens, Keller, Jones. They owe it to the fan base to try harder, meaning get players. I would add to that, that in pro sports, we can't predict the future. I can't say for sure that the top of your rotation, meaning Skeens and Keller, will ever be healthy again. I don't know. You're from Chicago, so you know the story of Pryor and Wood. They basically had one season together. So here's my question. Are the conversations at the top of your organization to that end? We have a chance this year. If we get there, we could win it all.
Well, I think we realize what we have in front of us, and we realize how important and special those guys are. I mean, the three guys you named, you know, definitely highlighting that. So I think we're very aware of that, and I think our conversations around that at the top are very much linked to that.
Linked? Would you say they're linked more to the present or the immediate future, if you know what I mean?
No, I think they're linked to both. You know, I think that the present and the immediate future, and I mean the immediate future, I'm assuming you mean the next few years, but I think we're trying to make our club, better, you know, as of today or tomorrow, and then into the future also, which is important. But yeah, I think they're linked to both.
Is there a cause and effect or a reaction type thing on trade deadline day? Have you in years past noticed? If you didn't make a move to bring somebody in this year, would there be a little disappointment in the clubhouse? You know, like, hey, we need to get some help in here because we have a chance to win. Or have you ever seen where it can affect the way a team plays?
No, I think most groups kind of focus on the group that's in the room. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's not a situation of focusing on, hey, what if, and the speculation, because there's so much speculation that goes on in the game about, you know, who's going to be moved, who's not going to be moved. And then you end up looking at the end of the deadline and the four guys that everybody said were going somewhere went nowhere, you know, and then, or teams decide, hey, we're not going to move those players. So I think players in and of themselves do a really good job of focusing on, like, all right, these are the people in the room and this is what we're going to do.
Shelty, great moment last night with the Michael A. Taylor home run, and then the cameras were on you in the dugout, and you got up on the chair, and then Joey Bart was tugging on the back of your jersey. Were you aware that was him, or how do you remember that moment?
Yeah, I know. I mean, you guys always get on me for never showing any emotion, and then I show some emotion, so I'm actually glad you pointed it out. Joey Bart did not have my jersey. It felt like he had all of my skin in his hand. I mean, I thought he was going to rip my flank out. But yeah, I don't know if he was holding me because he thinks I'm old and I was going to fall off the chair and fall down, or he was just really excited. I'm thinking it's a combination of both.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a pretty exciting moment. You know, we were just talking about when you're a manager, you look a whole lot smarter when your moves, you know, work out, which over the last few days, every single button you've pushed has worked out. Is that just something you accept universally as the manager, is that your moves you can make are correct, but if they don't work out, you're going to get criticized for them?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you guys have a show based on that, don't you? I think, you know, we've talked about this over the years. I mean, there's moves that you can make that, can be criticized, and sometimes if they work, then you look like you're really smart, and if they don't work, then you look like you have no idea what you're doing. But sometimes we have to take gambles. We have to make certain moves, and, you know, I think, as you guys know, I will stand by those all the time and tell you when I think they're right and tell you when I think they're wrong. And the most important thing is players make you look smart. You know, I think that's the one thing that I've really learned from my conversations with Leland over the years is you can make moves, but players are the ones that make you look smart.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's sort of like one of those, like I said, one of those universal truths. And, well, if we weren't able to second guess, what would we talk about all day? So
that's exactly right. I mean, that's why we have this show every week.
Right. Now, you know, I think a classic example, and I pointed this out earlier, a classic example of that was when you guys, and it seemed like, and maybe you can talk us through what actually happened, but it seemed like you guys sort of unintentionally, intentionally walked or pitched around or however you want to say it, you weren't going to allow Alvarez to beat you is basically what happened. And so you walked him with a 3-run lead. You walked him, you know, and the bases loaded. And now it's a 2-run lead. And I said, if the next guy comes up and Bednar's pitch isn't perfect and, you know, instead of popping up, he hits a little line drive or a little single, the game's tied. All of a sudden now, now all of a sudden we're going to be ripping you for putting the tying run 90 feet closer to the plate. What went on there? Was that sort of what you were looking to do, that you basically, you trusted Bednar to get the next guy and you just weren't going to let the Alvarez beat you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. We know that David has the ability to execute his fastball in locations. And in that situation, you know, we were not going to let Alvarez beat us. So if he wanted to chase out of the zone, chase in areas that we didn't think he could impact the baseball, then that would be the case that we would do that. And he didn't. And then, you know, David was able to get Diaz out. And you're 100% right. Like, if that doesn't work out and Diaz hits the ball in the gap and we lose, like, that's on me. And that's a decision I made. But, you know, it's a decision that it's part of the process that I made going into the game of getting into certain situations. I know that there's certain people that I'm not going to allow to beat us. And depending on it, right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm going to stick to, you know, what I think's best for our club. And I think your point there is probably the most important, Paul, is like that worked out for us last night. If David hangs a breaking ball and Diaz hits it out of the park, that's on me. You know, that's me making a decision that I thought was best for our club. But ultimately, you trust your players, and David executed last night, and we were able to win the game because of it.
Skeens was really good, obviously, again last night. Probably great. He hasn't been hitting, like last night, for example, up around 100 very often. I think he got there late, and I was curious whether that was simply strategic, the pitches he's using, or whether with the long-range goal in mind of keeping his innings and making sure he's right in late September, there's a shift in overall philosophy with him.
No, I think last night it was just the slider was better than the other pitches. And I thought Grandal did a really good job kind of realizing that early. I mean, we've seen times where the sinker or splinker or whatever the heck he calls it has been the elite pitch. Last night the slider was the pitch that we were able to go to. You know, I mean, and I think I even said it post-game, like, it's being critical that we're saying that the splinker was only 93, 94, and the fastball was 98, 99. You know, I mean, that's – if we're critical of a guy because he doesn't throw up triple digits every single pitch, we know we got something that's really special, which we do. But I thought last night Diaz did a really good job in terms of realizing what was on, realizing that they had a veteran lineup that had the ability to kind of adjust off it, and we went to his secondary stuff.
For sure. I guess I would say curious more than critical, just curious, because obviously it seems like he can pump it up to 100 and just keep rifling those a lot if he wants, right?
Yeah. I mean, if he wanted to sit back and throw the ball 100 every single pitch, he could do it. But I think we've seen with major league hitters, they'll adjust to that. So we have to use his other weapons.
Well, and you know, I think that's probably what makes him just so scary. It's that he's got so many weapons, right? It's not just that he can bring the heat. It's that he's got so many other weapons to go with it.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's what separates him from other people. Not only does he have the 100, but he has three or four other pitches that he can rely on. And, you know, the fact that now people have seen him pitch and he has, 13, 14 starts in the big leagues, people are going into it with a little bit more disciplined approach because they have seen him. And I think the adjustments that he's making off that are what's so vital. And sometimes guys struggle with that because they don't have the weapons to adjust off it. But this kid has the weapons to adjust.
Well, just real quick, the other kid, the other guy that you have that is currently out right now, I mean, obviously Destiny's Child wasn't able to give us the exact date, but is Jared Jones progressing? Is he, we asked Destiny's Child earlier, he couldn't tell us, but we figured to ask you, is Jared Jones progressing? I mean, is he on a good path to get back at a reasonable time?
Yeah, he's on a good path. He has a bullpen again today, so that's encouraging. And then assuming the bullpen goes well, then we'll start talking about live VPs and doing, things like that. But yes, he is progressing nicely. The stuff has been good in his bullpens, and he's got another one today.
Chapman's been unbelievable lately. I mean, just everything. It looks like he's a bull waiting to get out of the cage there when they do bull riding. It's when he was coming out of the bullpen, and then he's got the stare down at the end of his stints. He's been incredible. Are you 100% confident he'll still be a Pirate tomorrow, Shelty?
Yeah, I expect Chap to be a Pirate tomorrow. I mean, he's been really good for us. And, I mean, like you said, he's continued to pitch well. I mean, the other day in Arizona, he was able to come in a situation where we used Bednar before that. But fully expect that Chap will be with us.
Gonzalez had a number of clutch hits. Then he got hurt. Curious when he'll be back. Well, wait, we asked Destiny's Child this earlier. Nick Gonzalez will return when? Be careful on this one. Shelty's listening.
I will say August 14th.
Yeah, let's go August 14th. No, I'm not going to pull my Nostradamus.
He said maybe.
Wait, he's quoting me now?
Yes. Yes.
Jeez, what are we doing? Yeah. Well, it shows you that he pays attention to the show. I mean, that's the one thing. No, I think Nick's injury was just 2 days ago, so we're going to need to get probably a week out and see where we're at just in terms of the healing process. I don't think it's going to be, something that's going to be a week or 2 weeks. I think we're talking, multiple weeks here, and hopefully it's something that we can get healed up quickly. But we need to get him back in our lineup. He has done a really good job, but we have to make sure he's healthy to get back.
Is there an everyday guy in the meantime on your team, an everyday second baseman, or will you mix and match?
I think we'll mix and match. I mean, Triolo's going to get some looks there. I mean, it could be a situation where Bay gets some looks there, although he has played the outfield. And I think we're kind of mix and match depending on the matchups.
Well, you added to your bullpen.
Hold on, Paul, may I interject very quickly?
Go ahead.
City Limits just jumped up with a question, Shelty. I'll let him ask you when it comes to second base. This is very exciting.
Yeah, okay. Shelty, on Nick York, who was recently acquired from Boston, plans that he might potentially be able to have some reps at second base or even in the outfield he's played in the minors.
Yeah, I mean, we really like Nick York. And, I mean, I think, as we talked about, we needed to add, regardless if it was at the major league or upper level depth, and we were excited we were able to get Nick York and kind of trade from an area where we felt we had some depth. In the short term, probably not. I'm short term meaning, the next few weeks. But there is a possibility that Nick could come up and get some reps depending on where we're at. We like the fact that he can play second. We like the fact that he can play the corners, which is important. I mean, right now he's not a guy that's not a 40-man, but if it's a situation where we need to add him and we feel he's in the right spot, I think we'll do that. Right now, currently, we need to get him in our system and just watch him play a little bit is probably the thing that's most important.
Well, you also added Jalen Beeks. Where does he fit in your bullpen? I think it was a thought just to get another lefty to add a little depth. I mean, your bullpen has been pretty good anyway, but what was the thought process of bringing him to the Pirates?
Well, I think the thought process is, I mean, we had two lefties earlier in the year when we had Barucki in there. without having a timetable of when Borucki's going to be back. It was a situation where we thought we could add another left-hander that could pitch earlier in the game that could kind of complement Chappie a little bit.
Expectations for Bailey Falter's return tonight, Shelty?
Just go out and throw strikes. I mean, you know, he threw three innings in a rehab start in Indy. So, you know, don't expect that it's going to be a fully lengthy outing just because of the fact he's still building up. But the one thing Bailey has done is he's gone out and commanded the strike zone. He's kept guys off the barrel. So just hoping that he'll continue to do that.
Just a little bit, just back it up. Joe cut me off before I was able to follow up about Jalen Beeks. What does he bring in terms of, you know, his arsenal? You know, what do you like about him?
Well, number one, obviously he pitched in Tampa, so he's pitching big games, which I think is important and is tested in games like that. The biggest thing is just adding another lefty that we can mix and match throughout the middle of games. I mean, specifically as a left-on-left guy.
Palacios and Bay and or Bay available tonight? And if not, anybody joining the club?
Yeah, I think we'll have a better idea on that in the next 4 or 5 hours. Those guys are both being reevaluated this morning to see where they're at. If that's not the case, where they're not available, yeah. I mean, we will have to make a decision to try to add someone. Not committing to that yet because our trainers are probably actually – well, what time are we at? They're actually currently in the process of evaluating them. So I think we'll have a better idea then, you know, where both of them are at.
Rowdy good to go? Or is he still feeling lingering effects of the other day?
Well, it's a back. So, I mean, I think Rowdy's going to feel it for, you know, probably the next – I mean, with the back, you can never tell. But, I mean, he's good to play. And he's done a good job. I mean, the pinch hit the other day obviously was huge in Arizona. And he's moving fine. And the fact that we have two off days in the span of the next 5 days, I think will help get him back. But overall, he's in a good spot.
Shelty, we appreciate the time. Happy birthday to you. And we'll see what happens before the trade deadline here.
All right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate the birthday wishes. And I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
We'll
Derek
see you.
Shelton.
Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you.
There you go, Paul. Most notable thing he said, in your humble opinion, he sounds very confident that Chapman will be here tomorrow.
I would say that's probably the most important thing. Chapman is going to be here.
That would be big. And then at the beginning,
if you would have told me at the beginning of the season that Chapman was going to be a Pirate through the end of the season at $10.5 million, I'd have said no way. But sounds like it's going to be.
What if I told you at the beginning of the season that on trade deadline day, July 30th, the Pirates would be one game back in the loss column for the wild card? Would you have said they're absolutely a buyer and they better be?
Yeah, absolutely.
Me too.
I mean, the thing about it is, it's one thing if you're at this spot and, you know, there's not like a glaring hole in your roster. But it's another thing when there is a glaring hole in your roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think that Shelty sounded optimistic about getting a bat in here? I did at the beginning. I thought he sounded pretty optimistic.
I think it sounds to me like there's probably going to be a move. That's my prediction. It sounds to me like there's probably going to be at least some sort of a move that's made, right?
I think so. The question is, let me throw this question out and we'll get to it when we come back. If it was Pillar and Josh Bell, Kevin Pillar and Josh Bell, would that be good for you out there? Or do they need to make a bigger move?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, I've been in a haze today, and I apologize for that. I quit caffeine. I have a horrible headache. I got injured golfing yesterday, even though I wasn't golfing. I was only putting, and I went behind the putting green, and there was a hill, and I slipped down it and fell on my back and punctured my arm, Paul. So I even got injured just putting. So
I might be the only guy in the history of golf that I've ever heard of that got injured putting.
I did. I went to see Sam Deep, Senior, I guess, the older Sam Deep over at Hickory Heights for a quick putting lesson. And he gave me the lesson, and then he went up back into the clubhouse, and a ball went over the side of the green down a hill, and I got injured putting. So between that, the caffeine quitting, I've been in a haze. I'm much clearer now since the Shelty interview and this Diet Coke. And if I were a Pirate fan, I would be – I'm already – if I'm a Pirate fan, outraged that Ben Cherington's done nothing to help this offense all season. It's outrageous. And if he does nothing by 6 p.m., then I would be just livid. This team, as you wrote today in the Post-Gazette, this team, I mean, these past 2 days have been phenomenal. They have fight in them. They deserve help. This city deserves something. And Cherington's the guy that needs to get it done. Yes, ultimately falls back on Nutting. Because Nutting needs to say, give him an ultimatum.
Right.
By 6 p.m., you will have done something significant. But still, Cherington's the guy that needs to execute a deal. He should have already. He should have gotten the Kevin Pillars and the Josh Bells of the world in here already. Just collect bats to give Shelton some options off the bench, to give him some depth if people get hurt, to give him better options in his lineup, etc. That didn't happen. He's already failed, Cherington. But he can make up for a lot by getting a big bat in here by the end of the day, or at the very least, a couple of smaller ones. What would you make of Pillar and Josh Bell, as Pony said, could happen? Would you be satisfied with that?
I think, you know, the thing about it is, if Kevin Pillar is going to do what he's doing, but hasn't he basically announced he's going to retire?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think he's a good enough player, okay, that, yeah. I mean, I'd be okay with that. I think he bring, you know, but I just worry that, because it seems like his numbers are a little bit higher this year than they probably have been, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be satisfied with that. Those are the moves that, like I said, should have happened already this season. Barely any return needed for just a couple of professional hitters. Get a Turner in here or a Kevin Pillar, but you still need a middle-of-the-order bat.
But what I'm saying about Kevin Pillar, and I wanted to pull this up, you know, just to make sure Grizzly Adams doesn't try and fight me about it. I mean, I got it. I already had it up.
I read your mind on that one, Joe. I knew that was coming.
I already had it up.
He did that quicker. If that was a Paul pause, it was a minor one.
I already had it up.
But still good timing.
That wasn't a pause. I already had it up before I started, because I said was, you know, I looked it up because I didn't want Grizzly Adams to get me.
Wait, who's Grizzly Adams?
Isn't that, what's his name?
That's the guy that gets mad at Paul for looking things up.
Yeah, he attacked Paul.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That guy.
So anyway, Kevin Pillar right now is hitting 50 points higher than normal. His on-base percentage is 57 higher than normal.
Yeah.
His slugging percentage is 88, higher than normal. And his OPS is, what is that, 146 or 145, higher than normal. So all I'm trying to say is Kevin Pillar going to have the natural regression in the second half of the season with wherever he goes? That's the only thing I would do.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But at least it's a professional bet. That's why I wouldn't be satisfied. Pillar and Bell, they do something, but they don't nearly satisfy with this. This dude has one home run since May 28th, Kevin Pillar. One home run since May 28th.
Right.
You know, he'll give you a professional at bat, which is more than I can say for a third of the lineup last night, for half the bench last night. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's ridiculous and where Ben Cherington should be embarrassed that in game 106, and I know it turned out great for Michael A. Taylor, and I don't mean that sarcastic. That was an awesome moment. Good for him. It was great. And Grandal crushed the ball. Those two guys have been brutally bad offensively this season. And then you have Bay, who got hurt. He's been horrible. He's a borderline major league player. Palacios, borderline major league player. Triolo should probably be in the minors. I mean, what? We're going up and down the lineup with like eight guys who either shouldn't be in the majors right now or shouldn't be anywhere near starting for any team that takes itself seriously.
Right.
I mean, so Cherington's already failed, but man, he could do a lot to make up for that by making a big move between here and 6 p.m.
But my point is, I think, honestly, if it's Bell and Pillar, I mean, they will at least have done something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I would
phrase it as too little too late.
I would be probably more lukewarm than excited about that, but I would be more excited about that than if they do nothing.
I agree with that. 412-928-9370. Would that be enough? Just a couple of, you know, very, very average veteran bats. That's it. That's the whole thing. Because to me, Paul, you're still coming out next game with a huge hole in the middle of your order. I mean, Rowdy's been hot for a long time, but I need someone as a three or four hitter. You know?
Yeah. I mean, those guys.
And Cruz has been great, and Reynolds has been great.
Those guys are basically, those guys are going to cost a lot of money. That's the problem. Anybody that's that kind of a bat is going to cost a lot of money.
Not Rooker. If he's still available. Well, everybody's available. My house isn't for sale right now, but if Paul drove down and dropped me off after the show and said, I'd like to buy your house for $1 million, guess what? My house is suddenly for sale. Everything's for sale. Right. So when people say Rooker and Robert aren't available, yeah, they are. Everybody is, pretty much. Everybody is for the right offer. So I'm still hoping they can that Ben Cherington can go for broke. It seems to me he's playing the make them blink at the deadline game, which is a dangerous game to play because, like a game show, you can leave with no prize whatsoever if you're playing deal or no deal
right here.
That's the problem with that, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like I said, I mean, Josh Bell gives you a little bit of power, you know, and I mean, he's had some months where he's gotten extremely hot. Maybe that happens. You catch lightning in a bottle with him. I'm not sure where you play him every single, you know what I mean? Like, to me, the problem with him is he's not a guy you're going to play every day. I would like to see them bring in a bona fide, legitimate, everyday outfielder that's going to add something to this lineup.
I just can't imagine the excitement at the next homestand if you had Vlad Guerrero walk out into the on-deck circle. And like I said, everything and everyone is for sale. And like we've both said a trillion times, you spent all this time gathering prospects and everything you did. You just had three picks of the top 47 in America in the draft. You just did that 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And that comes on four other years or five or six other years of doing that practically. Every trade you make, you got high, you know, high risk prospects, high ceiling prospects back. You've spent all this money in Latin America on your academy there to produce players. Every trade you make for a veteran player, every single one in the offseason comes with the little caveat that, oh, they could turn this guy around for a prospect at midseason. That's all you've done for 5 years. So if you need to prune the prospect tree a little bit, you should be in golden position to do that, unless Ben Cherington has failed on that front and doesn't have enough good ones. But he should. He should by now, to where you can go get a Brent Rooker and use up a top five prospect or even a couple in your top 10 and not even blink.
Well, yeah. And that's the other part of it, Joe, is I'm not sure. Did you see yesterday? It was one of the big names. I don't know. I call them the big names. The national guys like Morosi or what's the guy, Rosenthal. And one of those guys tweeted out, 80% of the prospects that are dealt at the trade deadline do not turn into major league players. Like, they don't pan out.
Yeah, right.
80%. So that tells me, listen, if I trade my top 20 players, more than likely 16 of them are going to be useless. Like, you know what I mean? I'm really only trading four players that might turn into something. And I'm not saying go out and trade your top 20 players. That's not what I'm saying. My point is, all these people that act like every single one of these has to be protected and scrutinized and everything else.
Vladimir Guerrero, there's a report, I think, today that he wants to make a commitment to the Blue Jays, that after the deadline, he's reportedly made his position and desires known. I'm reading this on SI.com, which, yes, still exists. But Bob Nightingale, our friend from the PM show yesterday, said he wants to stay and is willing to sign a long-term extension to do so. Great. Does that mean that he's going to get what he wants, though? I'm sure they're exchanging numbers. So if he wants to stay and he's willing to sign a long-term extension, but they don't want to pay him what he wants, then he's available. But, and by the way, he's hitting .301 with 18 homers and 62 RBIs. I mean, that would be incredible. And yeah, you'd have to give up a lot. Failing that, there could be other guys available from places like Toronto, Paul.
Yeah.
Now, There's probably a little over a handful of teams that are in definite sell mode.
Right.
But how about the Cubs yesterday? People think that they're in sell mode city limits, and the Cubs go out and get who? Paredes yesterday?
Yeah,
from Tampa Bay.
Well, and I think the other thing—
They go out and get an infield bat with power.
The thing I would tell you this is another one of the big now, but this is the point in the trade deadline, the week leading up to all of these national guys. Maybe it was Joel Sherman who was actually saying it's an extreme seller's market right now, which means there might not be nearly as many deals that are going to be made as usual. But that usually changes. I mean, you get to about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock on trade deadline day, and all of a sudden these teams that want to move some of these guys and get some of this payroll off of their books, basically they're willing to do it.
Paredes making only $3.4 million this year with 3 more years of arbitration. So 3 more years of contract control. This dude has hit 67 home runs over the last 2.5 years. Or wherever we are, 2.75 years almost. But now the Cubs have him. And I realize he's also a third baseman. But again, you bring in bats and then you worry about where it all shakes out later. Because you have injuries, you have all kinds of things happening. You worry about that later,
right?
In my opinion. You bring in the bat. He's also played first base. He's played shortstop. Of course, he can play DH. If you have to hide him in right field for a game, I bet you he could do that. He's an infielder who's hit 67 homers and is team controllable and cheap right now.
Right.
So did they make a call? I mean, it's just like, yes, ultimately it's Bob Nutting's responsibility here, and the buck, pun intended, stops there for sure. But that doesn't mean there can't be plenty of blame heaped on Ben Cherington.
Well, here's my frustration. The Phillies made a deal for Austin Hayes. Would you agree that would have helped the Pirates? Would you agree that Austin Hayes would have helped the Pirates?
I'm now silently looking up stats during our radio
show.
Yeah,
no, I mean, he last year started the All-Star game. He's a center fielder,
yeah.
Right? He is the guy that...
Yeah, just about anybody would help the Pirates right now. He's coming off, yes, a very good year.
Right.
Sure, I would have liked him.
All right, okay. The Phillies gave up, and I would say the equivalent of this is what the Phillies gave up to get him. Are you ready?
Yeah.
They gave up the equivalent of, say, someone like Majinski.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reasonably good reliever. Majinski and Palacios. That's what they gave up, right? Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Would you say
it again?
That the Phillies gave up the equivalent of, say, like Majinski and Palacios.
In the Hayes trade.
From the Hayes trade.
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's pretty much what they gave up. That's the kind of deal. I don't understand why the Pirates weren't able to go make that kind of deal.
It'd probably be more Chapman than Majinski because Sir Anthony Dominguez is pretty established.
And about seven other deals just like it. We want you back with us after the break to talk more Pirates and Pittsburgh sports.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.